Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
This is the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It falls to Ely on the volley! What a finish! Gotti Kingda has struck! It falls to Polito and he puts it in! To Johnny Russell, first time shot, and Johnny Russell has a hat trick!
The Sporting KC Show is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, superior light beer with only 95 calories and 2.6 carbs. Michelob Ultra. Find your fit.
Now your host, Nate Buchady.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Nate Buchady with you, joined as always by the one and only Connell McCourt. Connell, how are you?
I'm fantastic, Nate. How are you?
I'm doing great. And also joined as always by Allie Trost. What's up, Allie?
You know, it's fall. I'm happy to be talking some soccer. We got a big weekend of football ahead, so pumped.
Massive game against Seattle coming up on Sunday, and yeah, it's a little brisk tone in the air all of a sudden. The pumpkin spice stuff is everywhere. I had a pumpkin spice coffee on the way here today, so I'm ready to go. I'm charged up, and we have a big, big show for you today. We're presented, as always, by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And we're going to be joined by Daniel Shalloway, MVP candidate for Sporting Kansas City. And that's going to be most of the show today. I'm going to be honest with you. We're going to have a long, nice conversation with Daniel that is going to be awesome. So you want to stay tuned for that. And we'll preview this matchup against Seattle coming up in a moment. But guys, in this first segment, I do want to talk about some major news that's come out. Earlier today, we're recording this show on a Tuesday, and Jeff Carlisle of ESPN reported today that MLS and Liga MX have announced that they are, starting in 2023, taking part in a completely revamped League's Cup, one that will see every single team from each league take part. That's 47 teams, 29 from MLS, 18 from Liga MX. They'll pause their seasons for 1 month in order to compete in this tournament. The format consists of a group phase followed by a knockout stage. Many of the details still to be worked out, but there should be spots in the Champions League on the line, plus prize money. I think this is, look, during the All-Star game, Don Garber and execs from both sides said, a lot of people have been asking, are these two leagues going to join forces, merge at some point in time? And they said, look, that's not realistic to have one big league between the two, but the partnership is going to increase. Now I think we have an idea of what that increased partnership is going to look like. What do you think of it, Allie?
Love it. I mean, I think this is exactly what both sides needed to really make this thing more legitimate moving forward and more competitive, really, which is what both sides want. They want that competition between these two leagues, and it's going to do great things for both sides. My only question is, what does this do? And we'll look at it from the MLS standpoint here. What does this do for the scheduling? Because those games have to go somewhere. If you're going on pause for an entire month, does that mean there's going to be games taken off the regular season calendar? Does it mean that a lot of games are going to be pushed into that before break or after that break? Does the season start earlier? So I'm really curious to see what happens there.
I kind of fall in the same similar vein of what Ali says. I mean, I want to sound optimistic about it because it will be good and there will be new rivalries formed and different teams will play against each other that we've never really seen or that fan bases have never really had the opportunity to see. But it's just, I mean, what do we lose then? Because then the first question I ask is, what happens to the CONCACAF Champions League? Does it happen same time of year? What happens to the Open Cup? What happens to the MLS regular season? Like you were saying, the fixtures get taken off. But it's something, again, it's another thing to go and try and win. And as no US team's ever won the CONCACAF Champions League, it'll probably be good to see them take on some Mexican teams and see, hopefully, a US team finally winning the thing.
Yeah, and we can't forget when I mentioned the 29 teams, that's post-expansion again. Mm-hmm. And so do you go 28 regular season games? You just play one game against every opponent in Major League Soccer and then have this competition in the middle, shorten the season a little bit? I don't know. Well, those answers are still left to be done. But I think in the end, this could be a lot of fun when all of a sudden everybody knows they're in it. Everybody's got kind of equal footing. because it's not going to come down to, well, I got to play a Wednesday game and then I got to turn around and play a CONCACAF Champions League game. And we saw how different each team in MLS had to approach this year's League's Cup based on just their circumstances. Mm-hmm. Just look at Sporting versus Seattle. And, you know, Seattle at the time had the benefit of, you know, having a full week to get ready for their first League's Cup game, where Sporting Kansas City were in the middle of a really, really tough run of games. And now it's on the other foot, yeah, where Seattle's going to be playing a Wednesday League's Cup game, and they got to turn around and come to Sporting Kansas City on a Sunday. So this would give everybody kind of an equal chance to go out and try to win this thing and get to know the leagues a little bit better. I think it's pretty exciting. We'll see where the details go on that front. But we'll find out more details. You can see the article at ESPN.com. All right, that's going to do it for that news story. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the Hungarian assassin Daniel Shalloway is going to join us. We're going to talk about international soccer, home ownership, and his campaign for MVP, and, of course, the big matchup against Seattle on Sunday. That's right after this on the Sporting Kansas City Show, presented by Michelob Ultra.
You're listening to the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And welcome back to the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, wherever you get your podcasts, and again today, wherever you stream your video content. You might really want to go back and watch this one, because we have a very special guest in studio, and we're displaying all sorts of great things. We got our beautiful Sporting Kansas City scarf here. We're presented, as always, by Michelob Ultra. Now, that's for after the game. You know, after you're celebrating like Johnny Russell, you crush a Michelob Ultra, smash a can over your forehead, and you celebrate with the cauldron. But before the game, I'm going to kind of lean out of the way here. As you can see on the beautiful video screen, you need to hydrate, kids, before the game. And after you drink all those Michelob Ultras, you got to hydrate with Body Armor Sports Drink. I know it's my kid's favorite, and it might be the favorite of the man that's joining us right now as well, Daniel Shalloway. Major League Soccer MVP candidate Daniel Shalloway. I will officially say, what's up, Daniel? How are you, man?
Good, good. How are you guys?
Good. First, we have to do is see if we can get him a little closer to that microphone. I don't know if we can slide that. There we go.
There you go. Beautiful.
That way, we can make sure everybody can hear you. They want to hear you more than me. That's for sure. All right, first things first, we're talking Body Armor. They're nice enough to bring you here to us today. Sponsor of the team, all of that. Hydration. I'm always talking to my two children, my son and daughter who play youth sports, especially when it's hot out, about how important it is for them to hydrate before games. And I don't know if you know this, but little kids don't listen very well. Not to their parents. Maybe they'll listen to you. How important is it to hydrate as a highly tuned professional athlete yourself?
It is very important. And, you know, it's not just personally. I think it's important we, as a team, look out for that. We do hydration tests before games. We take care of, take care of the players, that everybody's hitting the right levels going into the game. And yeah, as you mentioned, Body Armor is one of the things. It's nice because obviously water is the number one thing everybody has to drink, but sometimes it can get boring. You know, you want a little flavor, and Body Armor is amazing for it. So we drink that at training and during games. So it's actually a very nice flavor. For me, some of them are too sweet, like other brands, but this one, we switched like last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, a couple years
and
ago.
And it's been great.
Yeah, I like them because of the natural fruit flavors, as opposed to some of the energy drinks you get that, I don't know what Blue Crush is, or like flavors like that. Like, that's not even a flavor. What's your favorite flavor of Body Armor? Got one?
Yes. So from the regular ones, I like the Blackout Berry, like the blackberry ones. Those are really good. Yeah, you like that?
So good.
And they have this light version as well, like from the like different flavors, and like the tropical one is super nice. That one is so easy to drink.
Okay, so again, get your Body Armor, ladies and gentlemen. Hydrate like Daniel Shalloway does, and get ready for the games. And so we got Daniel here in studio for a little bit. We've got a lot to talk about. First things first, you told us before we started the broadcast today that among the many things that have changed in your life, this is a big year for you, by the way. 2021 is going to be a year going to go back to be a big chapter in your book. You know, you make your Hungarian national team debut, but you entered the world of home ownership. You bought a house.
Yes,
tell us
I
about
did.
That.
Yes. Yes, you know, I've always been living in an apartment, renting, and I thought it would be a good time to buy a house. So in July, I moved, and I moved that to the burbs, so I'm an official
adulting at its finest.
Officially an adult.
Yeah, the time that we did that that drive together and the interview thing, I came and picked you up in your hip River Market apartment and all that. So now you're out in the burbs. How is home ownership treating you so far?
Look, it's super nice. I love it, but there's so many things you have to get used to. So that's just like shocking things that you have to figure out on your own and all that stuff. So I'm adjusting, but so far so good. Loving it.
Okay, but the story of how you got the house, because it's not a secret that the market right now is it's kind of up in the air.
Hard to get a house.
Hard to get a house right now, but you got one in July, and the previous owners were sporting fans?
Yes, so I went to the house to take a look, and the first thing I noticed was like a
shrine of Daniel Shalhoub.
No, it was just like a sporting ball on the shelf, and I was like, okay, we might have a chance here, you know. So loved the house, and then I wrote a letter and everything, and what they responded was just throw in a signed jersey and you can get the deal. And I was so happy because I've been searching for so long, and that it's nice to use your name and sporting for these things, because it's you have to, you know. And I actually gave them a signed pair of my cleats, what I wore before.
There you go.
So they were super happy. They were season ticket holders before.
So did you have the jersey and the cleats like standing by, or did you have to go to Kitman and be like, hey, look, I need that. I need to get an extra. You got to understand, I'm buying a house here.
Most of the times I have actually like some sort of sporting stuff in my car in case it's an emergency or like I forget about it. And oh, here. So it's
unless the guy that pulls you over is a sporting
fan.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, oh, by the way, soccer ball.
Yes.
That's a good move. I think I would.
Nate does the same thing.
Oh yeah, that would not get me anywhere. But I think that if I were those homeowners that sold the house, I would have held out for more than a jersey. I'd have been like, I want breakfast with Daniel Shalhoub and Johnny Russell. Would that have gotten the deal? Now that it's over, you don't have to negotiate yourself against yourself anymore. But had they said, I want breakfast with you and Johnny Russell, would you have pulled that off? Did you want the house that bad?
I mean, I did. Johnny would have been like, all right, so you get a deal. What do I get for it?
What would it have taken to convince Johnny Russell to go to breakfast with you and some random people to sell your house?
I mean, probably some drinks for him. That would have helped, probably.
Some Palinka, maybe.
No? He's not a fan.
He isn't.
He says it tastes like gasoline. And
I think that would make Johnny a fan, typically, but right there. You
he's
know?
Just Scottish, you know. He doesn't have the good taste. You know?
Yeah. Well, how do you feel about that, Connell? I guess you're not Scottish, though.
But they like Buckfast, like tonic wine, which is probably something similar, but I don't have too many of them. They go off the rails quite easily.
Yeah. So when you say that there's a lot of things that come with home ownership that you didn't, I definitely remember that. And I still feel like 13 years into home ownership, I still come across things where I'm like, I don't have the right tool for that, or I don't know how to fix that. And I think I'm on the deal where I have to borrow the equipment from a neighbor twice before I finally go out and spring for it myself. Have you had to do that yet? Like buy any, like now all of a sudden I need a wheelbarrow or whatever.
Yeah, my biggest purchase and my best friend right now is a leaf blower.
Yeah. And, wait till the fall in Prairie Village.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, the trees
exactly.
There are like
and big trees over my my house, and these squirrels are like eating all the time, and it drops on the patio. So I'm just like, wake up in the morning, going around it.
You going electric? You going gas? What are we doing here?
It's like a battery one. You know, you can charge it separately. Uh-huh. So easy. And It's fun.
We're turning into a progressive auto commercial. Daniel Shalhoub is turning into his parents right now.
Yes.
Okay, have you had one of those moments as you've gotten older? You're doing all of these more adult-like things. Have you had a moment where you're like, I am my dad? Or like,
yes. I was driving the other day and I'm looking at the houses, how the landscaping are at the front. And I'm like, that would look nice for me. What am I doing?
Oh, just get ready, buddy. It's going to get worse and worse. Okay, all right. We'll use this as a transition. And speaking of becoming like your parents, it was really fun. So I mentioned the Palinka. We'll get into that later. But you and I had a nice little toast together after the one of the last home games. You had just gotten back from the Hungarian national team, your first games with the national team. And you told me that you found out that if and when, I'll say when, you score a goal with the Hungarian national team, you and your dad would become the first, is that right? The first ever father-son combo in Hungarian history to score for the national team?
Yes, yes, it would be huge. My dad always keeps track of these stats, and it's very important to him. But I think this is awesome. There's not many who actually played in the national team, you know, but there's a couple, and we could be the first one to both score. He has one goal, so it's not hard to beat, but I still have to do it.
Well, even the last time you were there, you played against England, some top players. Did you find it? I mean, obviously it's way different than MLS, but did you find yourself in awe of any of it all going on? It was hard to take in, just getting there, finally making your debut.
Yeah, honestly, like, all day I was just sitting on game day. The first game was against England, so that's my debut. And all day I was just sitting thinking, there's going to be 60,000 people in the stands, so that's new as well. Because MLS, it's a good adjustment because we play in front of full stadiums, but that's still a lot of people. And then national team, brand new teammates in a way, plus against England. So in my head, I was like, did I even touch the ball in this game? Like, what do I expect from it? And obviously, once you get to the stadium, it's so weird. Everything calms down and you're so prepared immediately. So I went in and I actually did well, I think. But there's definitely nerves, like, for your national team debut.
What's it like when, is it the manager, the assistant manager says, or Daniel?
Yeah, yeah.
What's that? Can you remember that?
So that's the thing for me. Like, by that time, I'm calm. Like, I don't know how to really say it. You hear the stadium so loud, and as soon as you're ready to go in or you step on the field, everything, like calms down. And it's so weird. I think in professional sports, you kind of get used to blocking out everything around you, and you just know how to play your game after that. So it wasn't terrible at all once you step on the field.
Has it always been that way for you, or was there a time in your career where you felt that shift where you didn't feel those nerves when you stepped on the field anymore?
I think I'm actually lucky of being able to, like, stay calm during games. But I would say, obviously, like, debuts are always tough. And the first time I played in Hungary, you know, making the first division debut, it was for my club who I always played for, except the 1 year I played at the academy at Sporting. And, you know, you grow up listening to these chants and everything, and they started singing it right before kickoff. You know how Sporting does the I believe that we'll win. And they started doing it in the whole stadium, and, you know, you kind of, like, got the goosebumps. You're like, oh my God, I'm here, I'm doing this. So that was definitely one of those moments.
So, and we're visiting once again with Daniel Shallowy. He's here on behalf of Body Armor. Make sure you get your hydration when you're playing soccer or do anything else in life with Body Armor. The difference of, you just mentioned the idea, I'm all of a sudden with this group of guys I've never played with before. How many training sessions did you get with them before that game against England?
So I got to train with them, do like a region on Monday, I think.
And for our audience that doesn't know, a regen is basically like you're just kind of working out. What is a regen? Explain that
really just like a little bit of movement. So you get the blood flow, you know, a little jogging, stretching, and getting a massage or something, like those easy things. But you still don't get the day off. You know, you still have to do a little bit of work. It helps with recovery.
But it's not like a full training session where you're out there playing 11 on 11 and knocking the ball around.
No, usually you don't touch the ball during region sessions. It's a very short movement.
Okay, so you got one of those, then what?
And then one training session, which is like you can consider it as a full training session, and the day before the game, which is usually just 5v2s and you really don't do much. So yeah, that's it. And then you're going into the game. And then the next day you have to do region again after the game. And then a full session, and then before the game day, an easy one. So it's very difficult with the national team to actually put work in. You know, it's more like just getting ready for the games.
So is there no time for, like, team bonding at all? Like, obviously, I don't think you get on drink or whatever together at all, but is there nothing to kind of get you to know each other a bit better, because you think you're with your club teammates all year round?
Yeah, yeah.
You're coming here, you're probably going to spend a few days, so you get that kind of relationship built. Was there anything that you
said? Yes, I mean, you can hang out all day. So the training facility what we have is the same as like Sporting would have it. You have these lounge areas where you can like sit down, have a coffee, talk, and like you can play pool, darts, all those things. So you can get some team bonding in. It was just new for me, obviously, because this was the group that played at the Euros and the games before. So they were all a bond together. And for me, I was a little bit of an outsider, but I still knew already some of the guys from like the youth national team. And I've been called in once, so I already know some of the guys there. So it wasn't terribly new, but still, you know, you have to adjust.
And you come in and you get to wear the lucky number 7.
Yes, it was.
How did that one open up?
I think it was awesome. I was so happy. So I asked, I was like, can I pick a number? And they were like, well, you're about to make your debut. Like, you don't get to really pick. I was like, yeah, okay. But like, I'm not trying to take away someone's number. I'm trying to pick from the rest, you know. They're like, okay, but like what? Like, what do you want? I was like, what do you have? Like, can I pick
what's
one?
What's available?
Yeah. And they're like, well, we have like number 7. You have number 7? Of course I want number 7.
Although that's pressure though, like fair play to you for taking on the number 7.
Yeah.
That could be, some people see that as, you must be a good player.
Yes. For me, yeah, 7, 9, and 10 are the top numbers for me. Like in every club, you go watch a game, you always look for those players. Like, how are they doing? So I think it's anytime you get a chance, you have to take it.
Any pressure on Russell there?
No, of course not. Of course, I like my 20. I like it.
Yeah.
My plan was always to go. I was 30 and then 20 and then one day be number 10. But I fell in love with number 20. I think it fits me in a way. Yeah, it suits me. So I'm gonna stick with it.
So we're visiting with Daniel Shallowy. So going back to it, you get one training session, really, like one full training session, and then you go play a game against England in front of 60,000 fans. And the reason I wanted to illustrate all that is because I've had some people ask me the question, hey, how would the U.S. national team do if they played against Sporting Kansas City? You know, and I've had, like, I know Benny Failhopper's told me, oh, Sporting would smash them because they train together every single day. And that's back when he was playing at Sporting. We train together every day. You know, we all know each other incredibly well. We know our system. We know what the coaches want from us. We know how to play against alongside one another. And he would always tell me, like, people don't have any idea how hard it is, even for teams that play together relatively frequently, to just drop what you're doing, go join the national team, and then play. So, like, your experience now after having – I'm not going to ask you if Sporting would be hungry. I'm not going to put any bulletin board material out there like that. But just in terms of how difficult is it, can you put into – did it even surprise you, or was it kind of what you expected in terms of how hard it is to just blend right into a brand new system with one training under your belt?
Yeah, it's – you're right. It's very tough. And for me, the reason why it was even more shocking is that literally the week before I had to go to LA for the All-Star game, and that was the same thing. Hi, I'm Daniel. Nice to meet you. Let's play the next day.
Yeah.
And then I came back to Sporting, played against Colorado, and then left again. So it was one of those, like, I don't even see my real teammates. You know, it's always this new group of guys. But I think over time it helps. I think we have, in Hungary, we have this group where it's been together for a while now, so it's more helpful. But as you said, when you get new groups together, it's so tough to actually work on tactical things. And I think in today's soccer, it's so important to actually put together the tactics before anything else comes. So it's very tough.
Okay, speaking of the All-Star game real quick, was there a player when you got there that you were just like super psyched to meet that you had really enjoyed watching?
Yeah, I mean, most of these guys, honestly, obviously, also you look for players like Rui Diaz who are against you in the Golden Boot race.
Can't
like,
him.
Yeah, no, but it's exciting. But it was shocking to me that obviously, you know, you're having a good season, but like all these guys who are like the top players in the league, they are like, congratulations, like amazing. And they're having like conversations about it with you and you. It's a feel-good moment, you know, you're like, it's a little feedback, and that's why I felt very nice about myself being there, and then scoring the PK too. I think overall it was a great experience.
Yeah, Peter called it the best one of
all the PKs.
Oh
yeah, it for sure
taken.
Was.
And it, I mean, we
would
all agree
with great,
that.
Peppy's was great, but I mean, but yours
that
was,
yeah.
So playing with the All-Star team, and then, of course, on the international stage as well, when you're playing against these players, I know you mentioned playing against Luke Shaw and different players like that. I thought you'd done okay as well. You said you thought you'd done okay. Does that give you, like, when you were there playing, did you think, well, I can't do it at this level? Mm-hmm.
obviously it's a little bit of both. Like you, I've done good things, so you're like, okay, there's room for potential in this level. But there's many things what you're like, oh my, like, so people are so strong, so fast. Like the touches are always perfect. There's not much room for mistakes at that level. And but it's important to play in those games, I think, because my dad always says when he's trying to sign, he's a GM, and anytime he's trying to sign a player, he always looks for the game when he played at the highest level and see how he did well, so he can kind of get the ceiling of that player. Because, you know, if somebody comes from Hungary, which is a smaller country, and you're not on the national team, it's tough to say that you have so much room to grow, because you're like, why aren't you on the national team then? So it's tough. With like France, obviously, it's difficult to get on the national team, but Hungary, it's there's much more opportunities, I feel like.
So we were talking too before the break that during the Euros, your national team played against your favorite player, Cristiano Ronaldo, in Portugal. And I'm curious, so now that you can sit there, it's not really a daydream. You could picture the idea that you'd be on the field in an international game against Cristiano Ronaldo someday. If that happens, or when that happens, you just making a beeline for his jersey after the game? Like, you know, what's the game plan there?
I mean,
yeah. One of those? Because some people are like, I'm not going after somebody's jersey, and some people are like, yeah, I want to collect as many cool ones as I can. Where do you stand on that?
I think you have to. I mean, for me, it's a great thing to have in your house, to have a jersey like that. I think it's amazing, and I'd love to get his jersey, but I think there's a line of getting his jersey.
There's a pecking order.
Is there a certain number of games that you feel like you have to play against him or on the same field where they're like, okay, now I can go out?
No, not even that for me. But one time we played in LA when Zlatan signed in the league, and we played away and we beat them. And Johan was subbed off. And after we won the game, he's sprinting on the field. And we think he wants to celebrate with us. Runs past us to ask for Zlatan's jersey. And then that's when you're like, oh, come on.
What did Zlatan do?
But, I mean, good for him.
Did he get it?
Yeah, he got it. Yeah. Good for him. He was so happy. Yeah. Super happy for him that he got it.
Yeah.
But I feel like I wouldn't go on a full-on sprint to get his jersey.
You got to, like, play it a little bit cool,
yes,
right?
Yes. Just kind of the fast walk. And it's like, hi.
You're like looking at the clock going, I'm just going to make sure I'm close to him on the field.
You know.
I don't know. I should have like taken note of that, because when I saw Danny Rojas from a fake TV show at LAFC, I beelined. Like, I almost ran into him. I was like, hey, like out of breath. But yeah, no, keeping her cool, I feel like, is important. I would, I don't know. Mia Hamm's like that player for me. I feel like that I just don't know what I would do. But is there any other player besides Ronaldo that you have kind of on a short list of like, okay, if I ever play against them, I would love to get their jersey at some point?
I was the same with the England guys. It was just tough because debut, so you want to keep your jersey, one. Mm-hmm. But two, we also lost 4-0, so I didn't know what would be a good way to do it. Like, I don't want to go and ask for jersey, and then in the locker room, the guys are like, hey, we don't do that after we lose 4-0. Like, that's I was like, okay, but there I would have loved to get like Sterling, Harry Kane, or like Grealish, like those forwards. Like, you look up to these guys, they're doing so amazing in their career, so it would be awesome to have their jersey.
With you coming in, coming into the international setup again, obviously it's kind of brand new to you. We spoke, Nate, I think, brought up your debut. I mean, how many years ago was that now? 2016 or whatever, for Sporting?
17.
When you were coming in, you'd been in the academy and stuff, but breaking into that first team dressing room, some big characters, Ayew Opara, and you had Tim Melia, Roger Espinosa, all those guys there. Did you feel it was kind of similar coming into this, the new dressing room on the international stage as you did when you were first breaking through Sporting?
I think it's a little bit different because, yes, you are playing your first games, but you get called in because you are doing great. And, you know, I go in there with lots of confidence saying that I've scored this many goals and I deserve to be here. When you come into your club, you're kind of like, okay, I'm making these steps on the ladder. Like, hopefully I get to play and, you know, all those things. You respect everybody who is there so much, and you are trying to just make your way into the team. But when you come with the national team, you have to bring all your confidence and step on the field and do it. So there's not much room to step on the field and be like, oh, this was his first game. Like, everybody is harsh as soon as you're on the field. Congrats on your debut. Now perform, you know.
We're visiting once again with Daniel Shalloway, courtesy of our friends at Body Armor. Make sure you get hydrated with Body Armor. And, Daniel, let's transition now back to Sporting Kansas City. I mean, you guys are coming down the home stretch now. Just a few weeks left in the regular season. You're in first place and coming up on Sunday, Seattle. Two of you have been jockeying for first place pretty much all season long in the West. And you mentioned Raul Ruy Diaz. This is a matchup to see maybe who's going to finish, you know, tops of the West. And Golden Boot race, MVP race, all that. I want to start off with just, I know you're the kind of guy that watches other goal scorers and admires the way they do their thing. You mentioned it was cool to get to meet him at the All-Star game and work with him. What impresses you the most about Raul Ruy Diaz when you watch him?
I think he's, there's some things where you can obviously see, like his shooting, like he strikes the ball very well. Like you can see the way he touches the ball. It's just, those are there. Like, but with these forwards, I kind of always look at the movements they do, mm-hmm. and the way he's so small. But the way he finds the pockets in the box, I think he's amazing at it. You know, it's not easy, but this is why he scores that many goals, because he always finds a way to. He's like a magnet, you know. The ball always finds him, and this is, I think, the best thing what he does at his game.
You're obviously doing a lot right this season, and the stats would show that. But is there anything during this final stretch going into the playoffs that you are specifically working on with your game, if at all, to take it to another level?
It's just, yeah, honestly, it's really just putting those extra percentage of like being focused, because I feel like it's super nice to be all year in the MVP conversation in the Golden Boot race, but I made it this far. Let's do it. So in my head, I'm like, let's put that extra work in, because I don't know when in my career I will be in an MVP conversation again. So 9 games left. Let's go and try to score a brace, a hat trick, just score as many goals, assist, help the team to win and finish on top. Because you need to squeeze out every energy you have. Because this is the year where something special can happen. Not just with me, but with the team as well. And I look back at 2018 and, you know, that was, I also felt something special was happening there and could have happened at the end, but you know, you just fall short at the end, and we can't let that happen again. So this game is going to be huge for us. I think we have to show how good we are, really.
Well, how motivating is it though when you look back on 2018, when you look at even last year where the team does get so close and you fall short? Like, a lot of guys on this current team were there to experience that as a group in 18 and in 20. So how much do you take from that collectively, and then, you know, pass on to some of the guys who maybe weren't on the team?
Yeah, I think it's gonna have to be a conversation with the team when we go into the playoffs, because it's tough to understand that our season ended on 45 minutes, like one half. Like when mm-hmm. Portland came, mm-hmm. Blanco scores an amazing goal, and then you're like, whoa, and then they score again, and then you're done. So I think it's heartbreaking, you know, and this is what you kind of have to experience, or having to talk to someone who experienced this to prepare yourself, because, you know, sometimes you feel like you're dying, but those 45 minutes can push you to the MLS Cup final. And I still feel so bad that we didn't make it to the MLS Cup final. And I wanna be the team who makes it this year, to be on that team.
Well, it certainly does feel like there is something special growing. Just, I mean, this year, the way the teams came back so many times, where they've been down, and even recently where they've been scoring the first goal and dominating teams. But has the conversation happened yet where you're like, Alan Toledo, I'm pretty good at counting as well.
Hey, Johnny didn't look bad on his either, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, but they're not sitting right behind in the golden boot.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Alan is like 13-13, though, going back. We pulled the stats. I mean,
he wants golden boot race points here.
Hey, he's talking braces and hat tricks, so he might not need some penalties.
Maybe rolling that golden All-star game, not penalty, but over and over.
Yes, I mean, you're right. You need those you need those set pieces to help your chance to win it. I think it's more of a team comes first base for me. In my head, it's always the rule. If you step up and take a PK and you make it, you have the right to take the next one too. And as soon as Ellen and Johnny are doing that, I don't feel the right to ask for it. If you ask me last three games of the season and I'm in within two or whatever goals to the golden boot race or whatever, John, I already talked to Johnny. He said, ask anytime, I'll let you hit it. You are in this race. But I don't want to be the guy who takes it away from someone who constantly scores it. At the end of the day, the team needs to win. And I don't want to be the one who, I'll take it from him. Maybe I miss it. And then the whole rhythm is messed up.
See, this goes back to the rule that I've been saying that should exist in soccer. It should be just like basketball. If you're the one that draws the penalty, you should have to take the penalty. Wouldn't that be, it would be great. It would be great drama. First of all, can you imagine all of a sudden Andre Fontas gets hammered in the penalty area on a corner kick? He's got to take the penalty.
Yeah, but if it's MLS Cup, I'm saying, okay, no way.
No, it's fantastic. This is what we want.
One of the strikers.
It takes that dynamic away, too, not to worry about this people arguing.
We talk a lot about like rules that we would add or change in MLS, so I'm curious, and just like the sport of soccer.
Do you like that one, Daniel? Yeah. Would you sign up for
that? Yeah, I mean, it's not bad.
Call FIFA on
it. It would be interesting for sure.
Is there another rule, and like not to put you on the spot if you hadn't like previously thought of one, but is there another like rule that you would currently change or one that you would add that you think would make the game better?
Yes.
And it can be crazy.
Yes, we've been talking about this. So if you draw the PK, you win the PK, and somebody like Kyrie won the PK, Johnny scored it, Kyrie should get the assist for it.
Like as a statistic.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
It should be an assist. So. Somebody else took it.
What about also the last game, you run the length of the pitch, against Chicago, pardon me.
Yeah.
And hit the shot and it falls back to Johnny.
Yeah.
And you don't get anything.
So the past two games, I had two shots, rebound, and they score. I think that should be an assist as well.
I think so. Yeah.
Surely.
I mean, all the effort that goes into an assist was there. I mean, people get assists for much like
and especially
lesser.
Chicago one.
Yeah.
From halfway,
hey,
and then
nobody has the right to complain more than Kyrie. He got put in the hospital on a
jump
and doesn't get like anything for it, you know. So
exactly.
But that's why we watch the games and we don't just look at the stats, ladies and gentlemen. Because if you're watching the game, you know that Daniel Shallowy created that goal when he brings it up the side of the field like that. So, but hey. When the stats do suit us, we're going to throw them out there and say Daniel's the best in MLS when it comes to goals and assists combined. And it's in large part thanks to body armor, isn't it? Because if you're not hydrated, you're not getting all those assists and goals.
Yes,
can I bring
that
back together for you, man?
Body armor.
Of course, that's
and
why
the
we
berry
here.
Blackout, whatever it is, best flavor.
Yeah.
I'm with you on
berry.
That. Blackout berry.
Okay.
Wait,
love
that.
I do have one thing because we heard this from Tim today at training and everyone was laughing really hard about it. But Tim was asked, like, what is something that Johnny, I think specifically, or like what a player on the field does, like what's their reaction when they don't score in training? And he shared with us that Johnny will spank himself.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
And so I actually had a question. I'll let you react to that, but I'll have you finish with just your answer to this because someone ended up asking what is something that you do when you miss a shot? Like what is something that you say or something that you do consistently when you're like, I should have had that?
I mean, many times I cuss in Hungarian, probably. I think you go back to your roots always when those things happen. I don't have such thing as Johnny's that you spank yourself. That is actually, it's funny, very funny. He does it with like a roll back, like arm like straight and just does it. It's so funny, but I don't do that.
Okay, we do have some audience questions that we put out there. I got to get to those and then we'll let you go after this, Daniel. First of all, from Omar, he wants to know, what did your parents do when you were younger to help you get to the next level? And since you got a dad who's a GM in soccer, there's probably a good answer here.
Well, yeah, overall, what I can say that my parents took me to every training. You know, they bought me every gear I needed, every equipment. So that's already a huge support. Not everybody can have that. I think that's a big privilege in a way. And I'm super thankful for them about that. And obviously, my dad could help me with his game, helping with tips and ideas, and actually going out and playing in the backyard with me and teaching me stuff. So I think those were the things that I can say surely that helped me.
Okay, and then one more from Nicole. She wants to know, do you have any musical abilities?
I do not. No. Absolutely not. No. If I take many palinko shots, I can sing very well.
I want now. Next time we drink palinka together, you're gonna sing a song for me.
He is the pregame DJ though at home, so I guess that
true. Okay, yeah, that's true.
What's the thing that's most likely to play post victory on Sunday if you guys beat the Seattle Sounders? Or pregame psych up. One of the two.
Well, after we like to play nowadays, Crazy Frog. Have you heard that one?
Is that's the name of the song or the art? I'm old man over here.
Can I play it?
Crazy Frog. Okay. I don't know. Maybe we'll play it as bump music. You know, is it like EDM? Is it what kind of music are we talking?
This is something special, Nate.
Okay. Now we got to really hear this. Crazy, you guys.
I that makes me feel
better. Probably heard it.
Okay.
What's going on?
Nate, you know it.
We all know this song.
So I was, part of me was wondering, I'm like, is this like one of the dads on the team, like from a kid's show that I just don't know of, like a weird song on like a...
I don't even know. I can't even explain.
That song was massive.
No, that's great though.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Yes. Yeah, it's old. It's old.
No, that was
it's like
playing
bringing
at,
back
like,
jock jams, you know.
Or you're at like Cosmic Bowling. It's...
So it's more of this stuff after. Before that, it's more like, you know, you want to put some rap on, like something that really puts you like serious mood. But this one is nice to like, you know, jump around. Yeah.
Well, here's to some. So it's Body Armor and Hip Hop before the game. It's Michelob Ultra, Palinka, and Crazy Frog after the game. I hope there's a lot of Crazy Frog on Sunday.
I'm going to Photoshop a Crazy Frog with a Mick Ultra.
Hey, Daniel, thank you so much for the time. Congratulations on all the great things that are happening in your life in 2021. And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you real soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Daniel Shally. Remember, Body Armor, that's what he uses to hydrate before games. You should too.
You're listening to the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And we're back to wrap things up on this edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate you listening, downloading, subscribing, and liking. And we appreciate Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. All right, guys, great conversation with Daniel Shalloway. Just a minute or two left here. Thoughts on this game? What do we expect? Sporting KC versus Seattle Sounders, 6 o'clock Sunday night at Children's Mercy Park.
I expect a great match. I mean, these are two of the best teams in the entire league, not just the Western Conference. It's going to be a big match, a potential foreshadowing here of what may be to come in the playoffs this season. So I think it's going to be a great game, but definitely a tough challenge for both sides. Still some injury concerns for both teams on key players that may or may not be available. But, you know, regardless, both of these teams have had to dig down deep and tap into their depth to get things done and get to this point.
I mean, I think no matter what way you dress it up, I think it's the biggest game of the year for Sporting and maybe for Seattle so far. Obviously, Seattle with the League's Cup. As far as MLS is concerned, I personally think whoever wins this game will probably go on and win the West. Not because of winning this game, but I think these two are the two strongest teams. And them coming into Sporting's house, I like Sporting's chances. I would back Sporting at home against anyone. Seattle don't concede too much, so I can see a slender win maybe for Sporting, but definitely it's box office, and I'll not be missing it on Sunday anyway.
Last two home games, Sporting KC were able to strike early in the game, and that changed the entire complexion of both games. That's the case in this one as well. First goal makes a huge difference in this one because Seattle do play very defensively this year based on all the injuries they have, and they're good at it. But if they concede a goal, that has to change their approach in the game, and then Sporting Kansas City can dictate the terms. So we'll see how this game plays out on Sunday. You can watch it on Fox Sports 1. You can listen on ESPN Kansas City Radio, 94.5 FM. And you can get your tickets because there are tickets available. Let's make sure this place is packed on Sunday for a big, big matchup at 6 o'clock. That's going to do it for us. For Daniel Shalloway, for Connell McCourt and Ali Trost, this is Nate Bucati saying thanks for listening. Thanks to Michelob Ultra, as always, for sponsoring. And we'll see you next time on the Sporting Kansas City Show.